Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy previewing the Packers matchup against the Vikings this weekend at Lambeau Field. And then, you know, a short week as they turn around and play the Lions on Thanksgiving. We've been talking about where the Packers have the advantage. Keep weighing in on that on our Carbless Talk and text line. Ryan from Iguanago says two big advantages for the Green Bay Packers. They have the better quarterback and they have the best defensive player on the field. Both are capable of beating you. When you talk about defensive players on the field, sometimes you call them Kenny Clark when you mean Rashawn Gary. It happens. Okay, hypothetically speaking, of course. But Rashawn Gary has been a topic of conversation lately because of his production. And the thought was, Gabe, when they got Micah Parsons was going to demand a lot of attention, right? You have seen teams double him. You have seen teams try to neutralize him as the season has gone on. So the thought was, all right, well, that means these other guys, they're going to be able to eat. They're going to be able to pressure the quarterback. They're going to be able to make hay. Rashawn Gary has not done it at the level that we thought he was going to be able to. I want you to take a listen to Matt LaFleur, who was talking about Rashawn Gary. I believe this was yesterday. Take a listen to Matt LaFleur on Rashawn Gary.
Yeah, it was just, I would say, a byproduct of the game. He's never been a huge snap count guy if you look at the course of his career. But every game could unfold a little bit differently. And I think JJ, I think he's been doing a heck of a job. So I'd say that's more of just credit to how JJ's gone in there and done his job.
So Rashawn Gary played 39 of 72 snaps Sunday. Are you buying? He's just not a huge snap count guy. It's a quantity quality thing here.
Well, so I was curious, so I went back and I looked at his snap counts over his career, and LaFleur's right. He has not been a big snap count guy over his career. Just take a look at Micah Parsons over the last three games, the percentage of snap counts that he has played for the Packers, 84, 84, and 91. Rashawn Gary's gone over 80% of the snaps in any game only three times in his career. So LaFleur's right. Rashawn Gary has not been a big snap count guy, usually living in about the two-thirds area, 60% area.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because you gave us Micah Parsons' snap count percentage for the last three games. Do you have Rashawn Gary's for the last three games?
Oh, yeah, 54% this last Sunday, 60% before that, 70% against Carolina.
Oh, so it's gone down over the last 3 weeks,
yeah.
70, 60, 54.
But it's kind of lived in that kind of 66 to 60 area throughout the course of the entire season. He's hit 70 twice. There have been other times where he's been down around 61%. So the only thing that really dropped down, again, is the 54% against the Giants. That is a bit of a drop off of what we're typically used to seeing from Rashawn Gary this season.
I can't help but wonder if it's a diminishing returns type of thing. If it is the more snaps he gets, the worse he plays, or the more snaps he gets, the less production we're seeing out of him. So let's try to find that sweet spot of a 54% snap count where then we're getting the best production out of Gary. The problem is, and this is something that has been referenced, he's making a boatload of money. He's making $24 million a year as the 13th highest paid edge rusher in the NFL. The math ain't mathin', Gabe. That's the issue people have, right? If you're a top-tier player when it comes to compensation, aren't you expected to be a top-tier player when it comes to production?
I'm not expecting him to have a sack every game. That's unrealistic. Even the best pass rushers don't do that, right? Like, we talk about the 12 sacks that Micah Parsons has had in the first 4 years of his career, and the only other person to do that, Reggie White. And obviously 12 sacks, it's not getting a sack a game. So you're going to have those droughts. But for him, he's supposed to be the pressure guy. That's what the excuse was. Oh, well, Rashawn Gary may not always get home to the quarterback, but at least he gets pressures. He hasn't been, to me, around the quarterback enough over the last three games. And I think that's probably a big reason why he ended up only playing 54%. And that snap count was down a little bit throughout the course of the game against the New York Giants. And I think it's something worth paying attention to because this is kind of what he's done, where he's had really fast starts and then disappears down the stretch. And if he disappears down the stretch again, like he did a couple of seasons ago, coming off that ACL where he just started out like gangbusters, having a couple of three-sack games, but then had just a half a sack in the month of December and January when the Packers needed him the most 2 seasons ago. Then you start having that serious conversation of, okay, is he going to be on this team next year given what you are paying him? And is that money better allocated elsewhere on the team when you know you want to pay Quay Walker, when you know you want to pay Tucker Kraft, and you've got these other guys that you want to pay on your roster?
Well, and they mentioned J.J. Kingsley Engabare also, but I think there have been at least last game where he had more snaps, right? Wasn't
he did. He had one more snap.
On the field. Okay, so that's a little manipulative. I don't want to sit here and say, oh, he was on the field so much more. It was one more snap. But do you think that Jeff Hafley is just trying to use them to spell each other? He's trying to, like, keep them both fresh, so he's just rotating them in and out over the course of a game?
No, it's way easier than that. Rashawn Gary hasn't played well enough to demand enough snaps. It's that simple. I mean, he's losing snaps to a guy who was like, we're not even sure this guy's going to be on the team. He's a nice piece to have, but he's depth. He's not a guy you want out there rushing the passer on big third downs. That's what ended up happening. Rashawn Gary hasn't produced enough. So they said, we got to try something else. I mean, his pressure numbers since his last sack have been, like, awful.
So I just want to be clear, though. It sounds like you feel like he's being benched or phased out in the best way they can, given that they still have the injury to Lucas Van Ness that they're dealing with.
It seems like if I were to take the most positive approach, they determined that he could be more effective, Rashawn Gary, that is, seeing fewer snaps and being fresher. That is probably the most positive approach. The negative one is he's just been sidelined for a guy they think's been more effective in getting after the passer better.
And look, kudos to Engabare.
Yes.
Right? Like, I don't want to sit here and give this guy a tough time for seizing an opportunity. If one of his teammates is underperforming and there's an opportunity to be the guy there, good for him. But it isn't a great look if that's what it is. If the reality is that he is just not good, that's a tough spot for the Packers to be in. Now, Lucas Van Ness is expected to come back, what, within the next couple of weeks?
Hopefully.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, because they obviously didn't think he'd be out this long.
What a bungle.
Otherwise, they would have put him
on the IR.
On the IR.
What
to
a
that
bungle.
Point.
Big time bungle.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you had an extra IR spot, who knows what the roster looks like here, if you had the extra roster spot. But I would assume he's coming back sooner rather than later because they weren't expecting him to miss this type of time. Going back to Josh's point, so the last three games for Rashawn Gary, so Pro Football Focus combines sacks, hits, and hurries as pressure numbers. He has obviously no sacks. He has no hits. And the only thing he has is hurries. He's had three hurries.
This is Rashawn?
This is for Rashawn. Three hurries, three games ago against Carolina, two against Philadelphia and New York each. But he has not even touched the quarterback in 3 weeks. It's not good enough.
And they need more production. They need more disruptive production from the guys on that line. And it can't all come from Micah Parsons.
Correct. Right? 100%. And I think to Josh's point, that's what they're trying to figure out how to do. Is, okay, well, Rashawn's not doing it enough. All right, we'll give Engabare some more opportunities, see what Kingsley can do. They're trying to figure that out because they need to have more consistency outside of Micah Parsons to help cover up for the deficiencies they have at cornerback.
And look, just standard operating procedure is that hopefully lights a fire under his ass. That's the goal, right? You start giving a guy more snaps than a guy who is typically getting them, the hope is that he goes, whoa, wake up call, I got to be better. But maybe that ship has sailed. And I think it's a really good point that you bring up, Gabe, about what are they going to do with him going forward? Because right now it feels like a sunk cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And when you take a look at his big contract next year, they do have an out. They've got an opportunity. And when you're paying Rashawn Gary the money that you, excuse me, when you're paying Micah Parsons the money you're paying him and you're paying premium at some other positions, you got to make tough decisions. And I would happily pay Rashawn Gary the money if he's playing well enough. Right. If he's living, even if he's on a limited snap count and only playing 2/3 of the snaps, if he's still being productive in those 2/3 of the snaps and he gets to 12 sacks and he is being disruptive. Yeah. But I think in order for the Packers to consider about keeping him, he's got to get to 5.5 more sacks.
Right now, if the decision came today, Rashawn Gary is released and a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the simple fact of it.
These next 7 games are huge for him. He needs to step up, and if he wants to get paid what he wants to get paid next year, he's got to step up, and the Packers will pay that $28 million cap hit gladly if he gets to 12 sacks, if he gets to 13 sacks. If he's still sitting here around 7.5, 8.5, 9.5 sacks, I think you go, all right, we can probably spend this money elsewhere and try to get that production out of Lucas Van Ness instead.
So what do they have, 7 games left?
7 left.
6-3-1, 10 minus 17, got it. 7 games left.
You forgot to carry the one.
I know, I should always forget to carry the one. Let me ask you a question. Let's handicap it. How many sacks do you need to see from Rashawn Gary? Sacks specifically. I know you talked about pressures and the numbers that they combine all of these things and hurries and whatnot. How many sacks do you want to see from Rashawn Gary? Again, facing the likes of J.J. McCarthy, facing the likes of Jared Goff, facing the likes of Caleb Williams, etc. Now, I don't expect him to necessarily sack Lamar Jackson if he's on the field when they play the Ravens. But, like, you got Bo Nix, right, when you talk about the Broncos. How many sacks do you need to see from Rashawn Gary to save his job in Green Bay?
He needs 4.5. I think he needs to get to 12 sacks. He's at 7.5 right now. I think he needs to get 4.5 over the next 7.
Mm-hmm.
Doable, Joshy?
I think it. I mean, it should be. When you watch Micah Parsons and you see 3 guys blocking him, hey, man, you got a one-on-one over there. I don't expect you to win every time. I don't even expect you to win most of the time. I just expect you to win some of the time. And right now, that's not the case. And this has been the whole thing with Rashawn Gary. He'll have these streaks of games where he just pours on the sack numbers, and then he mostly disappears. And this has happened throughout his career now, like 3 or 4 separate times.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't figure out what is the lack of consistency. He's not on injury reports. He's not missing games. So what is it? I can't piece it together. He just disappears, and there's no way to figure out what's going on. And right now it's Lucas Van Ness, we need you back badly.
Yeah, because those first 3 games, we thought we were getting a different Rashawn Gary. As good as he looked in those first 3 games. Yes, you lost to Cleveland, but he was still looking great.
Yes.
He was looking awesome. And you're, oh, man. They unlock something here. Now that he's not the focal point of that defensive line, he's able to get after the quarterback, and it's largely disappeared since. Largely disappeared since then.
800-990-3776. Folks weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Justin in Jacksonville says, Gary is always pulling himself out, always tapping on his helmet. That's something to keep an eye on. Joshy, you're nodding back there in agreement.
He had one, was it like the first series of the second half? Where, like, on play 3, he was tapping his helmet to come out of the game. And everyone's like, where are you going? What do you mean you need to come out?
You just had halftime. Right. You just had a little break.
And then you compare that to in the Cardinals game when Micah, who is out there just running through triple teams, still getting sacks, like, left the game for one snap. Like, hey, I need a break here. Literally left for one snap. Came back in. What do you do on that next play?
Sack.
Is Rashawn doing that after being out? Because if Rashawn's coming out, it's going to be more than one play.
Wait, was the tapping of the helmet the third play of the game and not the third play of second half?
I'd have to go back and look.
I know somebody tweeted me about it because I noticed the same thing. I was like, what do you mean you're tired? I know it's tough. I know it's difficult. I know those guys are really good. But you're an NFL football player. You've conditioned for this for now 6 months.
Well, theoretically.
Well, and the Packers had the ball to start the second half, too. So it's not like... It's not like you just only had the 15 minutes.
I think
it was
the third play of the game.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, man. You're not fresh? You working too hard in warm-ups? What is it?
Got to get a lather in, you know, Joshy? Get that lather going.
Yeah.
800-990-3776. Your thoughts on Rashawn Gary and his limited snap count and also limited production. Are you looking for reliable transportation this holiday season? I cannot say enough about my friends over at Accutrans, a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. Accutrans was so great getting our families up to the Green Bay area for the WIAA state semifinals. They took the parents, they took the boys, and everyone had a fantastic time. Why? Because booking is easy, safe, and dependable. Visit their website, AccutransGroup.com. You can get a quote there. You can book a reservation there. It's AccutransGroup.com for reliable and safe transportation wherever you need to go this holiday season.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because
you must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
St. Nick, meet St. Kate. Hey, it's Jen Latta letting you know that the holidays are in full swing at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Every celebration shines just a little bit brighter. Browse unique gifts at the holiday marketplace, gather for unforgettable Christmas Eve and Christmas Day dining, and of course, don't miss Brunch with Santa. It's a family favorite filled with joy, treats, and holiday magic. Celebrate the season at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Visit stkatearts.com/holidays for all of the festive details.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
The food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken! Oh my God!
Show me chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, what do we got?
All right, just you and Joshy today. Phone lines are down. But still have a little fun with today's game. You and Joshy guess back and forth.
I am going to say I think we got them repaired.
Okay.
Oh.
So we can have fans calling.
Oh, terrific.
Yes.
All right, 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one gets an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. With the Vikings coming to town, I thought it might be fun to take a look at Vikings specific. And just to kind of keep it a little more, I guess, fun, went modern Packers football. So since 1992, I am looking for the 8 running backs who have had multiple rushing touchdowns against the Minnesota Vikings. Since 1992, the 8 running backs with multiple touchdowns against the Minnesota Vikings.
So, theoretically, it's got to be Packers running backs, right?
Correct.
It's not just across the league?
Correct.
Okay. Just...
And we're not talking a single game. We're talking...
We're talking about the...
Gotcha. Yep.
Entire career of said player. Entire Packers career of said player.
Well, is... Aaron Jones on the list, who is suiting up for the Vikings?
In 11 games against the Minnesota Vikings, Aaron Jones, 5 rushing touchdowns. That would put him at number 2 on the list.
What about Amon Green?
Amon Green, number 1 on the list. He had 6 rushing touchdowns against the Minnesota Vikings in 13 games.
Let me ask you a question. You said Amon Green's number 1 on the list?
Mm-hmm.
It's by the number of touchdowns they scored against the Vikings?
Correct. So he had 6. Aaron Jones had 5. But there are 8 on the list that have 2 or more.
Is Josh Jacobs on this list? Does Josh Jacobs have 2 or more touchdowns
he
last
would have
year?
He only have had the one season of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Did he have 2 touchdowns against the Vikings last season?
I mean, it seemed like he scored touchdowns in every game, and he has basically since he got here. Can I say with any sort of confidence that's the case? No.
Hmm.
I think we saved that one. Let's think of some other.
A.J. Dillon?
That's a sneaky one that Gabe might be holding in the old holster there.
Why are you laughing, Gabe? A little chuckle.
Yeah.
Because Joshy knows.
So, yes, A.J. Dillon.
I would say.
Okay.
A.J. Dillon, 4 rushing touchdowns against the Minnesota Vikings in 8 games. He is number 4 on the list.
What about one of my favorite Packers, Eddie Lacy?
Oh. See, Eddie Lacy was another one I was hoping was in the old holster there. Eddie Lacy, 5 rushing touchdowns in just 7 games against the Minnesota Vikings, tied with Aaron Jones. So you guys have the top 4 in Amon Green, who had 6, Aaron Jones and Eddie Lacy, 5 apiece, and then A.J. Dillon had 4.
I don't like it. What about Jamal?
There was a season where a couple seasons where he just got every goal line carry and it would drive us nuts. I think that's a fair guess.
What about Ryan Grant?
That was
like
going to, he's on my short list.
I like that one better. Just because he played, Ryan Grant.
Ryan Grant, 9 games against the Minnesota Vikings, 2 rushing touchdowns.
Whoa, just barely snuck it in there.
What about Chewy's guy, Dorsey? That's a guess.
Dorsey.
That's a guess. Final answer.
Well, you guys always like try to discuss it back and forth and try to sneak one in. Dorse the Horse, 11 games against the Minnesota Vikings, 4 rushing touchdowns.
Okay, so reset the list for us. We've got to have nailed at least 5, 6.
You've got 6. You've got Amon Green, who's number 1. Aaron Jones and Eddie Lacy each had 5 apiece. A.J. Dillon, Dorsey Levins with 4 apiece. And then Ryan Grant had 2.
I mean, how far back do we need to go here?
Well, he gave us the years.
Go ahead.
Since 1992.
Okay, that helps tremendously. I didn't hear that. I wasn't listening.
Hey, if there's one thing we know for sure, you didn't hear it.
Oh, I'm so glad you guys understand me so well. 1992, that helps out tremendously. I think I got to go Jamal Williams. I'm going to throw it out there.
I like the guess.
Jamal Williams.
Jamal Williams has not scored a touchdown against the Minnesota Vikings as a Green Bay Packer.
All right, Josh, you got another guess? Keep us alive.
I'm running out here. I feel like there's...
We guessed A.J. Dillon, right? He's on the list.
Is there a sneaky... You said the two we wouldn't get were Eddie and... Like, I was thinking just taking a wild step. Did we say Edgar? Let's say Edgar.
Edgar Bennett had 2 rushing touchdowns in 10 games against the Minnesota Vikings.
And the last one, I was going to go sneaky. I was debating a guy like James Starks.
Oh, yeah.
But that, to me, seems like that couldn't be the... And you said these are running back specifically?
Running back specifically, because Aaron Rodgers had 4.
Right, I was going to say Aaron Rodgers
is so
have.
In order to make a list of 8, I had to boot Aaron out.
I mean,
so
John
Kuhn,
but he's a fullback, right? So he's not a running back?
he would be a running back.
So we're between Starks and Kuhn?
I feel like Kuhn crossed that goal line, but I don't know if he did it enough against the Vikings. I guess I would go Kuhn over Starks for frequency of carries.
I'm just going to guess James Starks.
In 10 games against the Minnesota Vikings, James Starks had 2 rushing touchdowns.
Dang!
John Kuhn?
Work!
John Kuhn had 0.
Oh, my goodness. Did you have the list?
No.
Oh, my God. That's so good. Sometimes I don't know if he passes it on to you and then is like, oh, no.
Didn't get the list at all.
Yeah. Josh Jacobs just had 1, obviously. Yeah, just a lot of quarterbacks on this list with 1. Brett Favre, Matt Flynn, Scott Tolzien. Probably the highlight of his NFL career with the spin move.
Scoring against the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that play like the back of my hand. that one, I remember where I was. That was a where were you when you saw that moment from Tolzien.
Well, because, again, you saw Scott Tolzien play at the University of Wisconsin. Uh-huh. Did not think he had the spin
move. Never saw him do that ever. He never did it again either.
Nope. I've got that gif somewhere of him doing that.
The Get Up crew currently discussing Packers versus Vikings on the television above us here in the studio. Dan Orlovsky, Andrew Hawkins, Will Compton, all running with the Packers this weekend. Mike Greenberg, Greeny, thinks the Vikings will get the victory. I don't know.
I don't think you can be confident in either one of these teams right now.
That's fair. Just from an inconsistency standpoint from the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, especially, the Packers at home, huh? They lost to the Carolina Panthers at home. So just about anything can be put on the table.
Shout out to the folks on the Carbless Talk and Text Line who were guessing Sam Congato as a running back who scored 2 touchdowns.
Sam Congato is an all-time misremembering of what was not as much as we thought it was.
Who he's got like folklore status.
Yes, yes. I think people think he played for more than he actually did and had a little bit more success than he actually did.
So he played, I mean, although...
Did he get 2 games?
No, he started 5.
What?
Scored 6 touchdowns in 2005.
Oh, I thought I was saying against the Vikings.
Oh, against the Vikings? Yeah. Oh, no.
I was saying the time frame of which he played was not enough for him to play the Vikings.
I thought
enough.
You were just talking about, in general.
No, I knew it was 5-6 games around there, and I figured he would be very lucky to even play 2 against the Vikings.
So Yeah, he did not have a rushing touchdown against the Vikings. Had 10 carries for 7 yards in that magical 2005 season. 10 carries for 7 yards. But then followed that up with a 26-carry, 111-yard game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he had some monster games in there.
Yep.
Fortunately, the Vikings was not one of them.
Ryan from Iguanago weighing in on the Carbless Talk and text line saying, that's Dr. Sam Congato
it
to
is.
You.
It is. Most certainly
and
is.
Congratulations to him for that.
Do want to tell you about our friends at Events by Design. You can boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more because the creative team at Events by Design truly enjoys the work they do. Whether you're looking for a big, huge event, again, I've seen them put on stuff inside Fiserv Forum with a buck soiree. They've done little things like helping us out at our golf outing. Anything in between playing music on one hole at a golf outing and an event inside Fiserv Forum, Events by Design can help you. They helped out at the night market this year, putting on a lot of those events as well. So whatever you're looking for, when it comes to that event, that corporate event, Events by Design should be that first call, because for over 25 years, Events by Design has helped companies execute successful events. Just search online, see if they can help you. Events by Design. They design, you party.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things, because it exceeds, it's like... I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
all right,
my
can
apple.
We just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you're heading to a Milwaukee Bucks game, make a bet at Pottawatomie Sportsbook and catch a shuttle to Fiserv Forum. After purchase or a bet, a wristband will be given out at the bar, and you can then get on the shuttle and go to the game. Wristbands are not required for return shuttles. Seating is limited. It is a first-come, first-served basis. Shuttle pickups and drop-offs will be in the annex. That's that space right next to the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. They begin departing Pottawatomie 1 hour and 15 minutes before game time, and return shuttles begin in the third quarter and run nonstop until 1 hour after the game. So you park in the structure at Pottawatomie. You make a bet or a purchase. You get a wristband, and you've got a ride down to Fiserv Forum. Bet above the rest. November 29th is the next date when there will be a shuttle available for the Milwaukee Admirals game as well. So Pottawatomie trying to make your transportation very easy this holiday season. We got special guest in studio, Will Summers. Will, I heard you guys on the old Marquette pregame last night. That did not go well.
Tough game.
Very tough game as they lost in overtime.
The pregame was wonderful, though, with Young.
Pregame was
thank
great.
Thank you, Josh.
Best part of the game.
That was a win.
Why do I feel like you're buttering up Will just to so you could tear him down later in the segment?
How very perceptive of you, Gabe. We have you in here not to talk about Marquette hoops, but to talk about something even more disastrous than that outcome last night. What in the world happened to your friend? He's your guy,
yeah.
Alex Strofe's hair.
So... he came into the office yesterday, and just out of instinct, I saw that he got his ears lowered, as I like to call it. Like, you could tell that his hair was a little bit shorter. And I didn't really look too much into it, so I just looked at him. I said, happy haircut, Alex. Looks great. You know, whatever. And then I'm sitting at my desk, and I start to hear some chatter around the office. Like, did you see Strofe's haircut? Did you see Strofe's haircut? And I look over at him, and the light is kind of like hitting his head perfectly, where it looks like somebody put... yes, exactly. Where somebody put, like... a bowl from a restaurant over his head and just snipped it right there. And that's how it was blended.
On the backside. On
yes.
The backside.
Like it was, there was no blend in between.
Oh, Joshy has put it up on the YouTube stream so that folks who are streaming the show can see what we're dealing with. I see what you're saying. It's like there's a ridge there, right? There's
mm-hmm.
a ridge.
It's uneven too.
Yeah, it's not even, it's the bowl was at an angle when they cut it. If the bowl was there.
It's just such an insult to
injury. I
want to
play quickly here. The 360 vision that they give us, this is from Ben Bruss' Twitter account. And if you watch closely here, you can see multiple places.
Turn you around and then lean down again. Oh, my God. Oh, I mean, isn't it like, Kyle, look, if we took a straight line, it goes up.
Yeah, it does. Why is it so thick here?
And then
it's...
then around the ear is tough.
She folded.
And even on the front, like, see this side here? And then, like, she left.
So basically what ended up happening, and Gabe was part of this as well, we got a picture of his hair and how bad the blending was in the back. And as you look closer there, you can see clearly around his ear, she just gets way too close.
Way too close. That's he's bald above his ears.
Yes.
I feel like in defense to Strofe here, Like, the worst of it is in the back.
Yes.
So how is he supposed to know?
What he needed was a good friend to tell him ahead of time.
Instead, what happened was everybody just kind of laughed behind his back, and pictures were passed around in different group texts throughout the office.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hold on. Here's the only thing I will say. Like, who would have told him? His girlfriend could have told him, but I got to be honest with you guys. Like, I'm out of my depth here. Like, I wouldn't know that that is bad.
She was out of town, actually.
Yeah.
So this was like the one circumstance where this could have happened.
Because I assure you, his girlfriend would have said something. I 100%. Assure you, she would have dunked on him harder than anybody did yesterday.
His girlfriend got footage of the picture and said, oh my God, you need to bundle it. Because you know why? Pretty big event this weekend. Her sister is getting married.
No. I didn't know that detail.
No.
Alex Trope is going to be in pictures.
Well, maybe not the back of his head.
And the reason...
How did this happen?
Well, the reason Will's in here, he's a little culpable.
Mischievous. So...
Wait, how is this your fault?
Let me explain. So, me and Alex Strofe get our haircut at the same place. Usually, not by the same stylist.
Just pausing for a minute. Your hair looks great.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, that would be
Josh told me I had the haircut of the year this month. He said it was the best haircut of the year.
If you were like, hey, you need to get a haircut, come to my place, I would look at your hair and I'd go, oh, it looks like they do a good job.
Right. And his stylist went on a leave of absence. I'll say that.
She's in prison.
She's in prison.
She's in the clink.
She's doing some time.
She at least doing haircuts behind bars?
Probably.
Yeah.
Make an extra buck or two.
Or a pack of cigs. Go ahead.
And so Alex Strofe comes to me and he says, well, who do you get your haircut by? Because we go to the same place. I give him my lady, which is the lady that cut his hair yesterday. Now, I love this lady. She, bless her heart, great lady. But you just got to, a couple times after you get your haircut, you got to be like, oh, could you like just fix that, adjust that? You know, like tidy it up. And in his defense, I guess she didn't show him the mirror behind his head to adjust it, but essentially, she messed him up bad.
So you're taking the blame for this because
you got to make the adjustments. Well, that's part of the haircut.
But I feel like you kind of let him astray a little bit.
You could have coached him in that space a little, right? Like you could have said, hey, she's a great lady. Like
I forgot I told him that.
You didn't tell him.
And then he was describing the lady that cut his hair yesterday on KBN. I was like, wait, I think I told him that.
But you forgot to tell him, hey, sometimes.
Yeah, I forgot to give him the heads up.
At the end.
But bless her heart, she's a great lady.
Constructive criticism, a little coaching.
If you direct your attention to the video stream, if you're not on YouTube or on Twitter, you can see what Will Summers decided to do. And that's make Alex Strofe's horrific haircut the background on all three of his monitors.
Is that the wallpaper on your computers?
I was doing that for awareness, so no one else was spread that picture. Everyone walked by, they said, what is that? I said, don't spread this picture. Please don't. I was looking out for my friend Alex Strofe.
You're a good friend, Will.
Yeah.
That's very clear.
I messed up and I made up for it.
That's coming through loud and clear.
Damage control.
You put him as your screen grab or your wallpaper. Oh my goodness. Well, listen, how do you feel now that people are going to think your lady is not good at her job?
I would say that's on Alex Strofe. That's on Alex Strofe. Like, that haircut was not to the point where it was unfixable. I think every guy had a haircut at one point where you're like, this is just going to be bad for a while. I'm going to go sit in the car. I'm going to cry for a little bit before I drive home.
My kids was during COVID when you couldn't go to a barber shop and I buzzed his hair in the bathroom. He definitely cried.
I do have an update. Alex Strofe got to get this cleaned up. And apparently the fella's reaction who was doing the cleanup job didn't say we were exaggerating just on how bad his haircut was. He fully agreed, like, yeah, you got screwed up and they did a really poor job. So much so that instead of charging him for a haircut, they just said, hey, I'm going to charge you a beard trim and we're going to take care of this and have you looking right again soon.
Oh, that was very nice of that place.
But see, it wasn't beyond fixable, right?
Okay, here's the question I want to ask our loyal listeners, and I know we're wrapping up the show very soon, but should you have to coach your stylist?
No.
I don't think you should.
Well, I mean, it depends. If it's the first time you're using that person, you have to be specific about what you want. And then, you know, if you keep going back to that person, usually they'll ask, oh, do you just want what you normally get?
See, the problem is she didn't blend the back there so you could see the clear shelf. But the problem is,
that's what it's called.
Yeah, around his ear, she just got way too close. So she took it way too thin, and there's only so much you can do. So then you have to keep getting it shorter. You're not getting the haircut you desired in the beginning. If you mess up and it's too long, fine. But we can fix that.
But there's got to be a level of professionalism here. Like, okay, look, I understand you're going to get a little too close to the ear from time to time. Nobody's perfect. But to have somebody that you cut their hair walk out of your place of business looking yes. like that? You can't do that. What, do you got a walk-in coming in going, nope. They turn around and walk right back out.
It's so what? Bad, and he didn't get to see the back, that I think it was personal. I think she didn't like him.
I will say, I don't like spending a lot of money on haircuts.
Well,
she's not the most expensive at the salon. I will
this
say
is
that.
One of those you get what
and
you
now
pay
that Gabe
for
mentions
type of
it,
situations.
The first time I ever went to see her, I remember I sat down and the guy that just had his haircut done came back. And then I had to get out of the seat so that he could sit down and get his haircut fixed.
Wait, this is just,
I just remembered that. That
I feel
said
like
that.
I feel like this is important information that should have yeah. been shared with your friend Alex Strofe.
But then we wouldn't have this story and it's funny. And it's awesome.
I can't believe nobody said anything to him yesterday. Who's the first person who said something to Strofe?
Ben Brust on air when Greg Skelsel joined them to start the show.
He said what?
He said,
what the hell happened to
well,
your head?
No, because Strofe's favorite quote is self-awareness is the most important human quality. So that's how they started the show. Then they brought him in here. They showed him the picture of the back of his head. And then all hell broke loose from there.
But he didn't know the back of his head.
That's
was
what makes
bad.
It funny because it's not his fault.
I get it. But it's not like our friend Will here put a picture of the lady as his wallpaper on his computer.
Hey, don't
he
go see this person.
Back, he put the back of Strofe's head as yep. the wallpaper uh-huh. on his three computer screens.
Well, I felt bad for him because people yes. were sending the pictures around on Twitter. I said, stop this. Please stop.
There were okay. multiple group messages that I was involved in that were passing this photo around, and there was whisperings amongst the office saying, who's going to tell him and how are we going to tell him?
Oh, and I'm sure you guys delivered it delicately, too.
It affected our office's productivity.
It did.
His haircut became a sideshow. People were less productive yesterday because he got butchered so bad.
He also sits like right in the middle of yeah. everybody, so everybody from all angles were just captivated.
Were people
just looking
getting
at
up? Were people getting yes. up purposely uh-huh. to yes. walk behind yes. him and see it?
Yes, there were some drive-bys.
Ben Brush was like a shark circling him the entire day.
This is like when you're at the zoo and the polar bears uh-huh. come out, and you're like, "Hey, everybody, get over here! The polar bears have come out!" Oh my goodness. Well, listen, I'm not sure if you're a good friend or not. I'm trying to work through that. If I'm being honest, Will, for the sake of content, congratulations.
Thank you.
You created some
unintentional. Intentionally.
So we believe it has been fixed. I want to be sure we're all.
We got a picture. It's not great.
Well,
but it
wasn't
well,
great to
again,
start with. How
there's
good
there's
can
only
be?
So much
yes.
you can do.
It's a vast improvement. And if he walked by me or he's sitting in the office, I wouldn't go, oh my God, look at his hair like I did yesterday.
There's only so much you can do
correct.
Short of just buzzing it all uh-huh. off and completely starting over.
Yes, it's drastic improvement.
If you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality Health is here to help. Actually help, not like the way that Josh and, you know, Will decided to help Strofe yesterday. They're actually here to help you if you have low testosterone. Some symptoms of low testosterone include low energy and motivation, fatigue, you're just tired all the time, you have weight gain, muscle loss, especially belly fat, you feel anxious, moody, or irritable, and Mentality can help. And how they do that is by focusing on your free testosterone levels, which a lot of doctors can't overlook, ensuring that your treatment is tailored to you and your body. And if you start working with Mentality in their testosterone treatments, your energy can come roaring back. The belly fat burns off, your muscle strengthens, you start to feel like yourself again, which again is huge for me. You feel like yourself again, you're confident, driven, ready to tackle life. Don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be the best for yourself and for your family. All you have to do is go to mentalityhealth.com/radio, mentalityhealth.com/radio, and book your first appointment today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Care. You can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Our friends over at Closets by Design in Mequon are doing a fill the van, pack the van, feed a fam this holiday season. They're asking all listeners to join their mission. Stop by 6040 West Executive Drive in Mequon, or you can just Google Closets by Design. During business hours, drop off non-perishables, food, toiletries, or cash donations. Their goal is to make sure at least 100 local families enjoy a full holiday meal this year. Let's help Closets by Design fill that van. Pack the van, feed a fam, and make sure no family goes hungry this holiday season. Reaction rolling in fast and furious to Alex Stroph's bad haircut. Somebody said, worse haircut than Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber, that from Tim in Wisconsin. And that is saying a lot.
Yeah.
That was a rough one.
The Lloyd Christmas.
Did he go to one of those barber colleges for the free cut? There's people trying to guess the name of the place. We're not going to do that. But Joshua, you were saying yesterday you did a whole show with him, and it was before you guys wanted to reveal it to the world. How'd that go for you?
The way I approached it was just looking past him and looking through him, because as I was talking to him and making eye contact with him, I could see the slow areas, the lack of blending. So to not crack and to save the surprise, the day-long surprise, the 18 hours he went with the bad haircut, no one telling him, I just avoided looking at him directly because it was tough. It was an all-consuming.
Just so you know, I don't think Gabe could do it. Gabe is too nice of a guy. At some point, he's pulling Stroph aside and being like, hey, pal, listen. Even with the content, right? Because I get it. The content was the payoff, right? So that they could talk about it on KBN.
They brought in Scowls to do it?
Yeah. I mean, when I said, and I was trying to be funny, but it was accurate. It was consuming people's days. We had people walking up to do walk-bys. We had people sending text messages about it. It affected productivity around the office.
Chris weighing in saying that haircut doesn't even fall under the quote $2 haircut, more like $1 cut. Sorry, buddy. I love you, but woof.
Yikes.
Will the Intouch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.